So once again, you that are with us this morning by way of internet, it's good to be with you on these Sunday morning sessions. And may the Lord richly bless you. As I said, I've talked to a number of you concerning our Sunday morning sessions, and we have missed some, and in doing so, we've recorded others. But as it happens, this one is coming to you live. And I just want to get into this morning. Just using the term living in the resurrection. Living in the resurrection. Now, my whole point with this, or at least greater emphasis, and bringing that to a point, concerns the resurrection. Throughout Christianity today, we have a religious system and people that are good people, but part of that system. We've made a religion out of Christianity instead of an ever ongoing union with Christ, which is what our salvation is. But my problem is that throughout Christianity, we have a church, people who are waiting on a resurrection. Waiting on a resurrection, and have made a doctrine out of a resurrection that is yet to come according to that doctrine. And in the reality of our salvation, which is what we've been talking about, well, we've been talking about that here in this place for years. And many of you have come to comprehend the reality of our salvation, that it's not based on a coming event, it's based upon the reality that Christ is come and does dwell in His body, that Christ dwells in you. Almost all of last year, 2021, and even I guess before that, but I know I was very much put upon by the Spirit of the Lord to deal with what I just termed the reality of our being in Christ. Now, we have manuals on that, teaching manuals. We have books on that that go back, I don't know, a lot of years. So it's not something new. But it seems that the Lord was really bringing it forth in a new way, the newness in our hearts, that we began to declare not a new idea, but that we begin to declare with newness of understanding, and then we begin to declare the reality of our salvation as found, the reality of our being in Christ. And we're all familiar with that term, have been for a long, long time. and what the term actually means. It has to do with our living union with the living Christ. Folks, it has to do that salvation is not a religion. It's not my religion, your religion, or anybody else's religion. It is not a religion. Salvation has but one foundation, but one basis of reality, and that is Christ Himself dwelling in you. And this is the whole gospel that Paul teaches throughout all of his epistles. This is what the Bible teaches, period, through the prophets, and then through the fulfillment of that. And it's about that fulfillment that I want to talk to you today. And what I'm going to do is actually sit here and read to you. Mostly we're going through the Gospel of John. And I just want to go through these verses. But it all has to do, once again, with the reality, the now-ness, not what it will be, but what it is. Not what God, we expect that God will do, but what He hath done. Not concerning a work that is yet to come, but our salvation is concerning the work that is finished. It is a finished work, nothing to be added to it. The only thing lacking in the believer who has Christ in them, very possibly, is a comprehension of that Christ that is given by the Spirit of God. And so it is that comprehension of our salvation that Paul talks about so much and prays for the church so much, that you would come to understand, that you would come by the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge to the revealing in Christ, that you would come to know Him in His fullness. Paul teaching then in the face of Judaism, but still Paul teaching then that salvation, that Christianity was not another religion or just a religion that had been substituted for Judaism, but rather that it was this same Jesus, the very Son of God, who had gone to the cross, has now come forth in the power of His resurrection and lives in those that have received Him and have made them to be His very body, and that He has been made to be the head over all things of that body, that we have come to a union with Christ, an inward reality of salvation. So let's forget about the religion. Let's just put that aside and focus upon living in Christ. Our union of being in Christ. Folks, you know, it's not, it's well over 200 and some odd times that Paul refers to that term, in Christ. In. The word is translated there from a little Greek meaning, which means a relationship in time, state and place of being, a relationship of rest. The word in there, it has nothing to do, well, it doesn't mean like you and I are in this building. And though we are, we who are sitting here in this building, but not in the sense of that term. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And all of the, we're going to be using it. The word in there has nothing to do with us sitting in this building like we are, or anything else that you can see in this building, all of the chairs and everything. Because if it can be taken out of this building, then according to the scripture, the usage, what the word in the Bible means, then it was never in this building. The word in there to to say in this building, like we say in Christ Jesus, then we have to be referring to the material that this building is made of. So that if you took that material away, the whole building would disappear. So that word, so that's, our union with Christ is much closer than that. Because our union with Christ is through that very Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You must be born from above, not of flesh, but of the Spirit. We're talking about a work of God. We're talking about a work of the Spirit. We're talking about Christ living in you by that eternal Spirit of God. Now, darling, that is a miracle to begin with. You're not worshiping God that's far off somewhere, but by His very Spirit lives in you, which is the redemption of your soul, which is the new birth of your soul, which is the salvation of your soul. A reality. But it's a reality that, well, we can only be called to that reality by the Spirit of God. You don't just decide I'm going to do this or that. Now, you may decide I'm going to go join a church movement. I'm going to go join a religion. You may do that. But you're not going to decide, well, I'm just going to be born again. No. The Spirit of God deals with that, draws us to that, exercises that reality. You can read that. Just with Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, one of the smartest people in Israel at that time, well-schooled. He was a leader in Israel. And Jesus talks to him and he says, Nicodemus, thou being a leader of all of these people, and yet you know nothing of this? Because he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how is that so, master, teacher? How is that so? How can I ever go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And that's when Jesus said, and you are a teacher, and yet you know not these things. And then he tells Nicodemus that he was not talking about, he said, that which is flesh is born of the flesh, but that which is spirit is born of the Spirit. And he told Nicodemus, I'm talking to you about the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Being born from above is the actual Greek reading there. Being born from above. Born again, being born anew is another word. And being born from above. It's such a reality, hon. It's such a reality. Now, you might develop beliefs. We all develop things that we believe in the Scripture and so forth. But our growth, growing up in Christ, is not really based on things that we have come to believe, even though those things be true. No, our growing up in Christ is actually a growing up in a knowledge, in an understanding, in a living union with Him. Not about Him, with Him. Not about Him. My God, we know all about Him, we think. We're always changing that. And I say we, I mean Christianity, different denominations and so forth. but our salvation is this person himself. Now, we've talked about all of that. We've talked about that for a long time. I want to cut to the chase here and just tell you, resurrection is that same person. Resurrection is that everybody talks about and that the scriptures talk about, so that's the one we're going to talk about. Is not something that he does. It's who he is. So when you have Christ dwelling in you, when Christ is in you, when you have come by new birth, and the very Spirit of Christ dwells in you, then the one who said and who yet says, I am the resurrection and the life. Who is it that lives in you? The resurrection. Then how are you waiting on a resurrection? Well, see, waiting on something that we've been taught concerning a resurrection, when in fact the resurrection by which we are raised up out from among the dead is a work of God that takes place in our soul, and it only is so because the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life, because he lives in me and lives in you. So what is it we're talking about? I'm talking about coming to a greater comprehension of Christ. I'm talking about comprehending something of our salvation that is much more than the forgiveness of sins. Taking, not belittling, you know, the forgiveness of sins. But there's much to forgiveness of sins that so many don't comprehend. So let's look at the power of his resurrection. The Gospel of John is where you'll be this morning if you're going to be able to follow me, the Gospel of John. And if you're not, wherever we're finding you, if you're not sitting there, you know, with your Bible, then jot these down, because this is it. These are my notes right here. And it's scripture, but it's concerning the resurrection. And we're talking about living in the resurrection. We're talking, now listen to me, so what I'm telling you is that we're talking about our being in Christ. Being in Christ. Living in Christ. Living in the resurrection. All we're doing is expanding by the scripture. We are expanding our view of salvation. We are coming from salvation just be our being, forgiving sins. And then we come to realize that the forgiveness of sins comes from a teaching and a word in the Bible that means the removal of the cause. And then we realize that true forgiveness comes when we are brought into his death. When one died, all died with him. How far reaching is the forgiveness of God? Reaches all the way to our becoming dead. For while we were dead in sin, now by union with Christ, we have become dead to sin. So you see, that's a whole lot more than most people understand forgiveness to be anyway. But beyond forgiveness of sin, we find the reality of salvation is Christ actually dwelling in us. a union with Him. We are not simply forgiven sinners. No, we have come to the cross. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, bound up in all of that, he can say, my sins are done away. My sins are forgiven. Yeah, I am crucified with Christ. When he died as me. When he died, God saw me dead. That's the very thing that he spoke to Adam. You do this, and in the day that you do it, thou shalt surely die. And we ought to know from just the way the Lord God said that, that he's looking at his son. Because when Christ formed the worlds, let alone when he formed man, he was still looking at his son. Everything was a testimony of that son that would come. All of this old creation, a testimony of that new creation, which would not be formed out of dirt. A new creation in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship, created in Christ. All of that, see, honey, is our salvation. So when your view of salvation begins to expand the, I don't know, the horizon maybe of your heart, of your mind, begins to expand that, then get ready. Then get ready, because there is no end to this. There is no end to the fullness of Christ himself. There is no end to the fullness of the Son of God, in whom dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, who dwelleth in you. Come on, darling. We're not going to find, you're not going to run out of it. But all of a sudden, then this word, resurrection, we're faced with that reality. What about the resurrection? Oh, well, that, you know, doctrinal in it. Well, one day that's going to take place. But it's already come. Jesus has declared it. I am the resurrection and the life. And we're going to read that. And we're going to read a number of other things. So, John 2, verse 19 through 21. Now, based on what I've already just made comments on, and looking at here the power of his resurrection, and then finding ourself as those who in Christ then are living in the resurrection. And also coming to understand this, that, hon, the life which is Christ in you, the life which is Christ in you, thereby being born from above, new birth, all right? That life is the life that has already, not only overcome, but has already defeated death. Christ's already done that, darling. He's already done that. He's already been there, already done that, already ascended to his Father, and now hath come, as he said he would, by his Spirit, and lives in you. And he lives in you in the fullness of everything he is. That's where we're ignorant concerning the fullness of everything that he is, even we who comprehend by the Lord, by the Spirit of God, that he dwells in me, also should comprehend that there's a lot to know about him that we will be learning throughout eternity. You're never going to get a doctor's degree on the learning of Christ. Forget it. Forget it. You're never going to exhaust that. You're never going to know all there is to know. You're never going to be a doctor of knowing Christ. Read Paul, honey. After all of the years, just the years before he knew he were going to cut it, he knew they would cut off his head. His heart's cry was still, "Oh, that I may know him." Huh, this is the Apostle Paul. I mean, this is the man of whom most of the New Testament, you know, was done. Of course, Paul never let the thing be centered upon himself. He's the one who said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Not I. Christ liveth in me. My Lord." Well, the reality of the life we have now, Christ has already conquered death. Now, we're not talking about a physical body. We're talking about our soul. We're talking about who you really are. Not, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessels, hon, that's what ages. I mean, that's there they are. Here sits one right in front of you. And there you sit as one. We're talking about the treasure. We're talking about what death, hell, Hades cannot touch. We're talking about something that is so great, so fantastic, such a miracle, our salvation, Christ in you. But we're talking about him in such a way that is so tremendous, so great. It cannot be touched by the death of this body, by this body ceasing to function. Whether it does that when you're 100, whether it does that when you're 200 or 300, I don't know. I think we base a lot of things too much on the age of on the age of a bunch of bodies that are dying every day one way or another. And then we base so much on that age. Well, he's such and such age. He's this, he's that. And then we make decisions about the poor individual, whether male or female. I mean, we build homes for them, and then whether they want to go to them or not, we come pick them up and go put them in the home and say, "There, do something with them." That sounds crude. And I know everybody wants it to sound soft and have flowers, but sweetheart, I've been there. I've been there. But we focus everything, see, on those bodies that do, by years, grow older. But then we start setting up standards of time as to, you know, that's a certain standard. Now you're a certain this. You're not supposed to be doing this. You're not supposed to be doing that. You can't do that. So we build things around bodies. And yet my life is not bound or governed by this body. Now, there are things, there are functions of this body that are governed by this body, but I'm talking about the function of our salvation. I'm talking about Christ in you. I'm talking about the eternal life who dwells in you. I'm talking about the resurrection. Not just the resurrected one, but the one who said, I am the resurrection. And that's Christ. Hallelujah. My Lord, hon. What if it could just kind of wipe the slate of our mind and throw that away, and the focus of our heart comes to be upon Him, not how many years do I have left in the flesh. If you're going to focus on that, then focus, what can I do for the Lord in this time? Don't know what kind of a job, what kind of a you know, an outward vocation, but in whatever I do, then what is it that I can do that would manifest life rather than death? That maybe someone else would find life rather than just a whole realm of death and then trying to make our way through it. And thinking that, well, one day when we die, then we'll see the Lord. Hon, the Lord's in you now by His eternal Spirit. And here's what He has said about that. John 2, 19 through 21. And remembering this is the Lord Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, you who have Bible background know that He had just cleaned out the literal temple there, the one that had for several thousand years been built and then rebuilt, started out with a tent, a tabernacle of Moses, but it all pointed to who this one that would come one day would show Himself to be. All of that, the whole tabernacle, the whole temple, even the temple of Solomon, all of that pointed to Christ. He and He alone fulfills everything that the tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon stood for. It's fulfilled in this one who has come, and the Jews are not receiving Him. They're not going to receive Him. He comes into that tabernacle or that temple one day, and He cleans it out because of the things that they're doing there. And it's an affront to God, and it's an affront to the Son of God. So He tears down stuff. They're in there selling sacrifices that they should have been preparing if they were going to give a sacrifice. These things should have been prepared for days and sometimes even weeks and brought as a firstborn offering and all of these kind of things. Now they're not doing that. They're in there selling. They're selling turtle doves and they're selling it. They're just making a mockery. So He shuts all of that down, chases them all out. And of course, the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees, all of the leaders come. And they say, "What? Show us a sign. Where is your authority to do what you have just done?" Which is clean that thing out. And here's His answer to it. Destroy this temple means that one, because He knows it's going to be destroyed. It's in prophecy that it's going to be destroyed. He knows it is going to be destroyed. But He knows the sure destruction of it is the cross, where everything that temple stands for. Now, listen to me, darling. everything that temple stands for. What does it stand for? It stands for the Old Jerusalem. It stands for the Old Israel under the law and under the Old Covenant. It stands for the whole priesthood born of a woman, the whole priesthood. It stands for every altar that has ever, every offering that has ever been offered to God. What that thing stands for goes all the way back to Moses on Sinai. Not just 100 years or thousands of years. It goes back. And Christ knows that on the cross, He is going to become the end, the absolute end of everything that that temple ever stood for. He is going to bring all of it to a fulfillment in Himself. He is going to fulfill every sacrifice that was ever given there. How many hundreds of thousands of sacrifices do you think were given just in what we can read in the Bible, starting with Moses? How many? And here's the Son of God who knows He's going to the cross, and He knows He's going there not as a substitute for, but as an absolute fulfillment of every blood offering that has ever been given. And He knows that the one that they must receive is the one they're going to reject. They know that. They've already rejected Him by this time. He knows that. He came to His own. His own received Him not. And yet, faithful to the Father, and yes, hon, faithful to you and I that are sitting here this morning, faithful to you who are now in Christ, hundreds and thousands of believers, true believers, born again. Oh, my. I've been so blessed of the Lord to find those believers in countries all over the face of the world. From little grass huts to mega hotels. But the point is not that they've been in grass huts or big hotels. Been in Christ. In Christ. Sweetheart, you say, I thought you were talking about resurrection. I am. I'm taking this to the cross. Why? Because what comes out from the cross? The cross demands something. We focus in upon all the death of it, all the death of it. And we miss that the cross is where Christ brought all things to death. But something happened as a result of that. He came forth out from among all of that so that we may have life in Him. This is what He... See, He just cuts to the race right here. He says, What's all this about? Show us a sign. And here's what He said to them. Destroy this temple. Because He knows it's going to be destroyed. And it was totally, absolutely destroyed. But He knows that before it is ever torn down in a literal way, that everything it stands for is going to come to an end. Just as the Hebrew says He comes to take away the first that He may establish the second. This is the first that He's going to take away. How? He's going to take it away in His death. That He may establish the second. establish the second in what? In the power of his resurrection. Not the first man, but the second man, which is Christ himself. The new man, whose body we are. Destroy this temple in 3 days. That's his death, his burial, his resurrection. I will raise it up. And then they said 40 years, 40 and 6 years this temple was in building. Now, that's not a good translation, because for 46 years they had been giving it a facelift. They had been giving it a going over. The temple that was there came out from the old. It was a makeover, or what was already a makeover after they came out of Babylon captivity. But it had been freshly worked on for 46 years. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Verse 21, but he spoke of the temple of his body. Now, just write this down, you who have something to write on, as to that verse right there. He spoke concerning the temple of his body. You need to also see 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 through verse 45. It is there that Paul is speaking of the resurrection being Christ, and we being that body that he has raised up out from among the dead, out from among the dead in sin. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35 through verse 45 is where he, of course, that's a big chapter, and it's all on the resurrection. It's all on Christ being the resurrection himself. The resurrection of the dead is Christ. Resurrection is not the dead living again. Resurrection is Christ living in you. Resurrection is not me living again. See, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus, new birth is not you living again. Nicodemus, new birth is you living by the Spirit. New birth is not you being born again in the flesh. New birth is you being born of the Spirit of God. And he goes on and gets much clearer than that as he goes on through the Scripture and as he speaks. And then we find the same thing concerning Paul's epistles. New birth is Christ dwelling in you. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about. But particularly verse 35 through 45, it relates to what is being said right here. But he spake of the temple of his body. Then John 6, 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now, the first thing you need to change here is the word at. In the original, and I'm just saying, You can go to, but it is in the Greek translation here. The word at is in. It's the word that I've been talking to you about. It's the same word. At, I don't know, you can make at mean anything you want to make it. But the word here is in the last day, which the word in the last day is not speaking so much of a time or an event. It is talking about a union, a relationship. I will raise him up in the last day. That's because, honey, the last day spoken of here is fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ. And I mean, we can go through all of these because we come to that just in this stack of Scripture. And I knew, you know, we're not going to go through this in an hour or anywhere close to it, an hour. But I want you to understand something. I'm not sitting here and I'll be back with this stack. But I'm not sitting here and preaching sermons on resurrection. We're going right through the Scripture, and we will see every one of these fulfilled in Christ. Now, I can sit here and say that. I want us to see it in the Scripture. And I wanted us to see it in the Gospel of John, because the Scripture there that we're looking at is what John quoted Jesus Christ to say in the first place. Here is what the Lord is saying. But, hun, sooner or later, we're going to have to come in our understanding from looking at this as something he said 2,000 years ago, to looking at this as something, a reality, that he is in me right now. And if we could just pay attention to what he said, he even says that. In John 6:39-40, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me." Well, what is that? Well, it's that in all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. And what does that truly mean? We could take another version of that. It means in everything that he hath given me to do, I will fall short in none of it. I will finish it all. I will bring it all to an absolute completion. Now that's what he is saying here. I will show it to be. I will bring it forth. My God, hon, wake up. I will bring it forth in my resurrection. Everything the Father gave him to do. No, we're going to read that. As we get along, it'll just become more and more obvious that that's what he's saying, because he says it over and over and over again. But most Christians, darling, maybe not you, and I certainly hope not you, you know, just kind of pick a verse out here and a verse out there. That's why I'm not doing it. We're going through the Gospel of John. And we're looking at it verse by verse, because Jesus is speaking right here of everything of which he is the fulfillment. And that's how he speaks of it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So we're not reading something he said 2,000 years ago. We're reading something he is right now. And he is that in you. It's such a shame that so many in the Christian religion is still waiting for him to become what he already is and where he is. Oh, we're going to read that. built upon one foundation, a holy habitation, which is you, which is me, which is his body. It's where he says, my Father and I will make our abode in you. It's where he says, and you shall be in me, and I shall be in you. But see, I'm just plucking out a verse here or there. No, we need to look at it. We're over here in John 6. I'm pointing over here to John 14, and actually John 17. In the last 3 days, and in fact, the last 2 days, I have read. That's no big deal. I'm just telling you, I've gone through everything from John 1:9 to the last verse in John chapter 17. And it's just such a flow of reality. And then you bring that, which I have also done, and we will do, right over into the New Testament teaching, primarily of Paul. But what I'm telling you, darling, it binds our salvation up with resurrection life. It shows that the life that we have has already overcome death. Already done that. And now he lives in us. You ought to get excited about that. Because that's the body you are. I sat here before you today having a body. But I sat here as part of a body that we are. We all have bodies. Paul says the best thing to do with the bodies that you have is serve the bodies that you are. That's true. The body that we are is one body. Now we look at each other in the flesh, we sure don't see that oneness. No, because it's not there. That's why we are born from above. It's amazing that in our country, I don't want to talk about politics, I won't, but just to make this little statement, that throughout our country, you know, it's such a big deal over they've given it new words and all of that kind of stuff, and I'm not interested in those. Racism, you know, and to be a racist and be all that. Christ took care of all that. But then I don't want to defend everybody by saying he did it by bringing all of that into death, coming forth in newness. And if any man be in him, we are a new creation, in which there is no Jew, no Gentile, not bond, not free, a complete new creation. So you see this, the old creation, the one I'm talking about, and those that are upset about the different things of words and all that they're trying to redo and so forth, the answer to it is too final. The answer to it is dealing with me. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. Well, there's the resurrection. There's the resurrection. See, most of the church wants to teach, you know, you're looking, because they're right on that same bandwagon with all of the other. Because they, you know, they think the whole thing is that it'll all just be resurrected. And we can all walk on streets of gold and so forth. The reality of it is Christ. I had a brother ask me one time. Bless his heart, he was upset and confused. And most all of us have been. But he said, Brother Lumen, if it's all about Christ, then what of us? And I said, Brother, the what about us is He lives in us. There is no greater what about us than that. He in whom dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily is made unto me full salvation. He's made unto me the resurrection and the life. He's made unto me my Lord. The Father hath accepted us in the Beloved. Brother, it's not that I have no life of my own. That's a fact. But the reality is that the life that I have is Christ. It's Christ Himself. That like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead, Romans 6, that like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, even so. Not as a type and shadow, no. Like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father, even so. Not something that just points, no, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's Romans 6. And then Paul goes on explaining exactly who that newness of life is. Hon, it's Christ in you. Hallelujah. Living as none except they have Christ as life. Not one who's going to be that someday. Please get that out of your mind. This is not a someday thing. This is a now reality. When we are born again of Christ, darling, all of this stuff that we've just been throwing out this morning and talk is summed up in that. That's who He is. He is made unto us who of God, Paul, this is another quotation from Paul, who of God are in Christ Jesus. Speaking you and I, who of God are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Who is made unto us? We're in Him. He is made unto us. Who is made unto us? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And throughout His epistles, He goes on and on and on. Everything that He is in you and I. And yet so many of us walk around in a great cloud of ignorance. And we need that cloud done away with. And the sun himself shine in our heart. And that's a work of the Spirit of God as well. So, living in the resurrection, the power of his resurrection. So I'm going to stop here. Time is gone. You want to jot some of these things down, I can do that in about 60 seconds. If you want to look at it, well, just get into John and John 6. John 6, 39 through 40. John 6, 44. John 6, 47 through 48. John 6, 54. John 6, 57. And then one more thing that he said, John 6, 61 through 62. This takes a little explanation because he says this to his disciples. And we won't go any farther than that because that takes us over to John 11 and that takes us to, it goes, keeps on. But it's everything, all the scriptures that have to do with and are fulfilled in the resurrection. The resurrection. Please, honey, please, please. We're not defining resurrection as an event. Oh, I know he was raised up, but not as an event. Not as an event, but as an eternal reality that is ever ongoing. We can make it 2,000 years ago if you want, but whoever is if there is someone being born again right now, today, some at least 2,000 years later than that, today, he is being born again by the power of Christ's resurrection. He is being born again of the very life who has already conquered and came forth victorious out of death and now lives in you, even if you have been born again just today. Hallelujah. It's a great salvation, hon. We need a much greater view of Christ. One that only the Father can give. Blessed be his precious name. Thank you. So I can't say that I run out of time. I can just say that I went as far as I had time to go. We'll come back and start again. We're nowhere near the end of it. The Lord bless. Amen.